Tatslahane, Oikolo, good day everyone. Nimi Pumol here, Julian Ankeny, coming to you straight from the WSU campus. We want to give a big war whoop. Oh, welcome today to Julian Matthews. Julian Matthews is the founder of Nimi Pu Protecting the Environment, an advocate for Free the Snake. They protect our treaty areas, educate the tribal members and youth on current environmental issues, develop leaders in environmental areas for the next generation, promote activism within our tribes and communities, empower tribal members to effect change. He is also the coordinator for the Canoe Project, a healing journey for our own community. Ketiao Yao, thank you again, Julian, for being here.
Sure. Thanks a lot for the intro, and thanks for having me speak here with the people. But the dam breaching, that was a big issue. We started pushing that about 4 years ago to save, restore salmon. And now the tribe got on board, which is really cool. We've been doing a lot of stuff with them, with the tribe, like different events. Now, we did the totem journeys for the Lummi tribe July 20, and they took it all over the country. Then we went where they stopped, like Snake River. That's what ours was, totem journey, Snake River. We all flew back to Washington, gave a speech on the mall, and Secretary Holland was there. And then right now, I think it's a tipping point for this dam breaching, if we've ever had it, because right now with Biden's new report just came out last week about dam breaching, that I hope it, you know, this will be the result is the dams will be breached. And our tribe's still meeting with Mike Simpson. He's a really good advocate for it. And it's so strange because he's a Republican from Idaho, you know, like, you hear all this stuff about Idaho. breaching. It's just funny. That's great. He's doing it. So a lot of people are supportive of it.
So I've been talking and for indigenous people to continue to occupy a liminal space that accounts for both the political and racialized natures of our identity, and how U.S. policies and treaties towards indigenous people are basically rooted in imperialism and white supremacy and a desire for material gain. Can you speak to how the damming of the snakes affects our tribal sovereignty and why these indigenous-led resistance movements to protect watersheds are so crucial in our lives today?
The rivers and the water with us, it's the salmon, you know, everything needs water, clean water. And the dams have really impacted that because we have a treaty right. And that's the big issue, that it's good to see that people are fighting for the water rights, because critical as far as a people, you know, water is really is part of our culture, is part of us. And we have, and that's what I asked NEPIC probably about 6 months ago. I said, well, who owns that water? Who owns those salmon? You know, no one said nothing, because we don't own it. They don't own it. I don't own it. But the thing about it, you know, particularly being indigenous here, being a part of this land ecosystem, I guess they call it nowadays, is that we want to protect it and we don't want to exploit it, you know, because really essentially the dams are exploitation of the water, and the salmon are just in the way, you know, like, because they want that hydroelectric power, you know, like they like cheap electric, and they say we need that, you know, we don't need that. But it's kind of like I tell people, a lot of the way they deal with it, whether it's timber cuts up in the subway locks off, or, you know, road building, whatever, wherever they go, I guess, like they want to commercialize it and commodify everything, make everything, like, how much can we make out of it? How much is this water worth to us? And how much electric can this generate? How much money can we make? How much can we cut timber and make money off of that? But I think that sovereignty and that treaty rights is really the big issue here. Like, we were here, you know, like I have this sticker I always put on my thing. It says, we are here first. You know, so they don't own it. It's just like, you know, where Wazoo sits and U of I sits. I live in Pullman. That's on ceded territory. We didn't sell it or give it up. But, you know, that's kind of how people like think, like, oh, you know, Indians aren't here no more, or they don't live here. They don't, you know. In our Constitution, it says the Nez Perce Tribal Executive Committee shall have jurisdiction over all lands within the 1855 treaty. That's pretty clear to me, you know, but it comes down to whether they want to push it. That's really what the issue is. Because even when they first started this dam breaching effort, you know, some of the council were against it. They didn't want us talking about dam breaching because they have an agreement with the BPA, you know, get funding and et cetera. But anyway, it's turned out pretty good now. But like, you know, like I say, you know, a lot of it is you can't commodify everything. That's what's happening to it. How much is it worth? You know, it's just like, how much can we exploit out of this land, water, or timber, or whatever, you know, to make money off? And then they just leave this devastation. You know, like, you look at all the clear cuts around here, whether it's up by on the Coeur d'Alene Reservation, out by St. Mary's, all these clear cuts are where they just went through. We need the wood, you know, which is true. But the thing about it is you have to look at ways that you can utilize without destroying like fracking. You know, that's terrible. Speakers come a couple years ago and talk about their fracking on their res, and even on the Alberta, we had some speakers from Alberta, tar sands area, Beaver Creek, Cree. And this lady was talking about how that starts oozing up in, onto her land, you know, and it's spoiled the water. And because of that fracking, whatever they do with that. So it's things like that. It affects everyone. You know, you can't have fracking, whether it's Indian or non-Indian, without destroying the land and impacting the environment. And so that's, tribes just have to be fighters. You know, it's just like when we first did the megalos, you know, I was surprised enough to, and the tribe got out there because we were fighting out for months before they all went out there, you know, and it's really frustrating. But now that they're on board with it, it's pretty good to see. And that's what we're trying to continue, is continue organizing, getting people involved. Kind of like what we're doing right now, get people to know up and down the river, you know, because it is we have fishing rights on the zone 6 on the Columbia, and we have tribal members up and down the river, whether they're enrolled in Esperance or enrolled Yakima, you know, so it's kind of like we're all related. And so we're all trying to combine our efforts to protect that river, Columbia, Snake and Clearwater, Selway, Locksaw, you know, salmon and all these. So it's really critical that the tribes take a good stand, and that's what we're really pushing. Not all the time, you know, but when we need to, we will push the tribe and get the people behind us, like at general council meetings. And because I think you have to get them behind you, because they do have a certain say or influence. And I think Shannon Wheeler, he's doing a really good job. Sam, right now, you know, it took some pushing, but I'm glad to see they're really working on this dam breaching. Because before, they wouldn't even, you never hear him say that, you know, 5 years ago, you never, you know, so it's kind of the kids, it seems like everything's going good with that kind of two-pronged deal. Reaching, and then the kids and youth activity.
Thank you so much, Julian. One of the issues that you grapple with in advocacy work is tribal sovereignty and treaty rights. If we can't catch fish or fish for salmon in our waterways, if they are too polluted, fish die, how will these changes in ecosystems of the rivers and fishing populations affect people 7 generations from now? These are all questions that empower our youth and tribal members to effect change, because they affect us directly. The Lapwe Canoe Project is a healing journey for those involved, young and old, who come together each Wednesday to reclaim traditional canoe carving. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we first started, actually, we first started with kind of the idea of the canoe project was we did our first down at Hawaii Canyon, the flotilla, Free the Snake flotilla, with some other, a bunch of groups, environmental groups, and some different tribal members, and then some other non-Indians that have been already had canoes at, like, Kalispell Tribe, Caldwell Tribe, Coeur d'Alene Tribe. And so after that, we started talking to Gary Doerr, some other people, who graduate was going to law school at the time at U of I, some other people, Jim Jameson. So we started talking about, like, we should get a canoe or we should carve one. And so so we got the first log. And then we took that down to our site in Lapway. Then we started working on it. Then met a guy, a U of I prof, and then some other people that hooked us up with Bull Woodford. He does the after school, Lapway Elementary School after school program. So we told him, hey, that'd be cool. Have the kids come down there and start carving on the canoe. And so that was September of 2017. And so the kids started coming there, 34th and 5th graders, every Wednesday. Most of them were Nez Perce, not all, were other tribes, non-Indians, et cetera. So we started carving on it, and then got that done. It took about a year, but we're just doing it every Wednesday and slowly. So, you know, so it was more of, like, we did that video, a healing journey, more of the experience of, you know, having the kids come there, having the kids involved, and a lot of other people coming by all the time. It's really interesting. Like, they see the Facebook, they stop by on their way somewhere and talk to us and want to help us out and do stuff and think, you know, give us ideas. And so we got that done about in 2018, about the same time, about May, June. And so then we took it out for the first time in, I believe, in June or July, did a float, test float. And then that, year we took it on the flotilla. We floated down from had some kids, tribal kids, Devin and Lewis Rubin, they were big helpers. So we had some kids, some elders, had a little ceremony down at Minnehog Island boat ramp. We put the canoe in there and then floated it down to Chief Timothy Park, and that was a long jaunt. Because I was thinking, you know, it'd take us, we'll be down there about 2.5 hours. So then we got down there about 7.5 hours later, because I didn't realize when you're floating on the river, you know, And that brings out the issue of the free-flowing river. When you're floating on the free-flowing, man, you're going for it. You don't even have hardly have to paddle. Then you hit that confluence and that slack water. You slow down, and then we got on the other side of Lewis, and it started getting really choppy. And originally, the dugout, it flipped on the first kind of turn. So we had to wait around for them, and then we waited, and then we got back going. Then Elliot and his Vonda and I were in the other one, and they started turning, and we flipped that. So
Oh,
the water was really warm, so it was pretty cool. Now we had all these Indian native canoes. It was totally cool because Kalispell, a bunch of them were with us, you know. So I mean, it's like all these Indians and canoes on the river, and so that was really kind of a awe-inspiring to me, and you know, it just kind of made me feel realize how critical important this was doing a canoe. And Moscow Charter School gave us a cedar strip canoe, so we used both of those in the last flotilla, which has been a couple of years now. We just took them out down there at the Youth Salmon Summit last Saturday on the 24th, I believe, and let some of the kids. We had Youth Salmon Summit where Burns Paiute kids were there, some Umatilla, and then a few Nez Perce. So it turned out pretty cool. Kind of give the youth voices, which is one, like you're saying, one of the issues I want to bring out is the kids. Because, you know, it's like I tell them, 20 years from now, I may not be here, but I want to do what I can right now. Young people coming up can still salmon, you know, they don't go extinct on my watch, basically.
Julian, you have definitely already created a lasting legacy for our community, but also for like future generations.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool because I used to kid them. I call them kids. You know, they're fourth and fifth grade. I used to tell them, no one ever showed me how to carve a canoe. So we did that. Then we started paddle making. Dave Paul, he's a U of I prof. He comes down and carves with the paddle. He has all the equipment. So, and it's really interesting. All the kids really love to. We're getting the kids program going next Wednesday, like I was saying. And we talk. We feed them every week. You know, we give them supplies, do artwork, do bead work, feather work, you know, things like have elders come and talk to them about different things, you know, like Lucy talks to them about the medicines and the plants and stuff. And Tutlo from the language program, he told me he came over there and said, hey, I'd like to do a curriculum for you guys on Nimiputemt on the canoe. You know, like different actions, carving, you know.
Yeah.
And then Gary Green, I guess I got to get a hold of him. He has one already laid out, so then we can start talking. You know, having the kids learn the Nimiputemp words related to canoe carving, you know, or on the water, you know, woods types, that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. And so that kind of stuff has been turning out just kind of like falling into place, I guess you say. You know, a lot of people come and want to volunteer. Or, you know, the dam breaching is really critical. Like I said, the canoes were designed for that purpose. The theme to be, we can't go up and down the river just like the salmon can't go up and down the river, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason we want the four dams breached is they were designed to be breached, like Bonneville, all the other ones under the Columbia, they are all concrete. But these up here were designed to have the earthen part removed, which will allow the free flow of the river, which is better for salmon. So that's our main goal right now.
Thank you again, Kat Xiao Yao.
Yeah.
And remember that Indigenous peoples, tribal sovereignty, tribal autonomy, self-determination, self-identification, traditional understandings, and concepts of culture, knowledge, and power take on new meaning when Indigenous people are able to tell our own stories. Today, Julian's work has brought culture as well as advocacy into a contemporary space and the impacts that these resources have on our different communities. Kat Xiao Yao, Julian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me, and I'm really grateful that you have me on here. So thanks a lot, Julian.
Yes, thank you.